Blog Talk Radio.
Fire.
pray, Lord.
Lord, send the rain. Pour out your spirit.
Like you promised us, Lord.
Grant the fire fall.
Heal us.
Heal us one and all.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Place. Tonight, we're going to be sharing with you about faith and what you see. We want to welcome you to another show. This week, we're still trying to get you to think outside the box regarding your faith and what you believe as true regarding God's Word. Our show ran a little long last week as we pushed the envelope a little and giving you explanations of faith versus belief from several different viewpoints. We took examples from a movie star, people of faith, preachers, and even some of the New Age people. The reason is to get you to think on this, the subject, and get some personal understanding of how to apply these things in real life. We don't live in the Bible, but as believers, we understand that it's our GPS to pleasing God. To help you expand your answer, we're also bringing you a sermon preached regarding the difference in faith and what you see by W.E. Gamblin. You will find that he is an old-time preacher and how he presents his message. And as always, we look forward to your comments or questions at the end of the show. And now let's have a listen.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Reading of this scripture will lead me to my text and my subject. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, for a text and a subject found in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, begin reading with verse number 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which held the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but a hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. For we are saved by hope, but a hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. For a while tonight, I'm going to preach on this subject, faith versus sight. You can be seated and the Lord bless you. The scriptures are very clear and they are very plain. We are saved by hope. When I started to drive down around the corner here for the service tonight, I hope to see you. Now I see you and I don't need that hope because it's fulfilled. This is not a route of sight. It's a route by faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, that's hope. We do not see, but we hope. Now, I want to point out some things that will go in this message, and I trust you never forget it. We are not saved by sight. We're saved by faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. It's faith all the way. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. So it's faith all the way. It's not sight. I have never seen Christ, but I believe in Christ. I've never seen him, but I believe in him. I believe that he was born of a virgin, matured into a man. He worked miracles, healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, healed blinded eyes, unstopped deaf ears. I never saw a miracle that he did, but I believe that he did perform, because I find it recorded in the textbook. It's all by faith and not by sight. It takes faith. Now, you may say, oh, preacher, I don't have any faith. If you didn't have any faith, you wouldn't be here tonight. I said, if you didn't have faith, you wouldn't be here tonight. It takes faith to believe that there is a place of undying day where sorrows will never come. Death will never come. Tears will never stain the streets of that city. The trouble this world is in, it takes faith to believe there is a country out there, somewhere in the heavens. Jesus is there, seated on the throne. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, you hardly ever hear this preached on unless it's at a funeral. But I want to give you a double dose of it tonight. John 14. Now, Jesus said, if these things were not true, I would have told you. You can put your trust in what he said. I was not raised in the church. My people, we knew nothing about the Pentecostals. But my daddy was an honest man. He taught me, before we ever thought about receiving the Holy Ghost, he told me time and time again that a man's word was his bond, and that a man was no better than his word. In my generation, a lot of deals were closed with a handshake. No note signed, no nothing. Just a handshake. But you try that today. You've got to fill out a list of things about that law. They've got to know all about you to get $50. And if you would shake hands with a person on a deal, when you get through, you better check your fingers. You could have lost one in the deal. What I'm preaching to you tonight, you can absolutely put your trust in what Jesus said. I said, you can put your trust in what Jesus said. Now, he said, if these things were not true, I would have told you. He said, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Some time ago, I was just turning through the Bible. Nothing special in mind, just turning through the Bible. My eyes fell upon Acts chapter 1 when the disciples had gathered to get somebody to take the place of Judas. This is what the scripture said. Judas hanged himself and went to his own place. Everybody in eternity will have a place. It's going to be your place. You can't exchange places with anybody. Everybody is going to have your own place in eternity. You can't exchange. It's going to be your place. You listen to me. This is what they're teaching tonight. They're saying that hell is not a place. It's only a separation from God. They say heaven is not a place. It's a state of mind. I'm preaching to you tonight that heaven is a place. I said heaven is a place. Hell is a place. And the fire in hell has not cooled 1 degree. And I'll shout when I say the beauty of heaven has not lost 1 ounce of its beauty. Heaven is a place. Now Jesus said, I'm going away. Now, I know he got there. He arrived. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. Amen. But if I go away, yeah, I will send the Comforter. Acts chapter 2, the first 4 verses. 120 were gathered together. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, out of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. I know he arrived all right. Now, if he got there all right, I know he's going to come back because he said he would. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. Different translations. I have a testament that has 26 different translations. And before I came to church tonight, I reviewed that verse. It simply said, mansions is dwelling places. There's many dwelling places in my Father's house. There's many places of abode in my Father's house. There are many dwellings. There are many rooms in my Father's house. Amen. You know, I like good singing, and I am hung up on this quartet singing. I just love quartet singing, and I drive 25 miles to hear my favorite quartet, just the ending of a song. So beautiful, I like it. I like good singing. Amen. And there's some singing I don't like. Now, these two songs are good, but I never sing two songs when I take up the offering. One is Jesus Hold My Hand, and the other one, Jesus Paid It All. Now, there's two songs I never sing when I take up the offering. But there's one song I can't stand, and I don't want to ever hear it. Build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. A cabin, my foot. I'm looking for a mansion. I say a cabin. I say a cabin. I was born and reared in a cabin. You can look through the crack of the floor and see the chickens under the house taking care of all the termites. But we did have running water in that house. You grabbed a bucket, run outside and got it. That's where I was born, but that's not where I'm going to live. I was born like that, but I'm not going to live like that. I said, I was born like that, but I'm not going to live like that. Hallelujah! And this next verse that I want to quote, this will float your boat if your lake ain't dry. Jesus said, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I don't tell anybody when to shout, but I'm going to say this. And if you don't like it, you're the loser. If you can't shout over the preaching of God's word, don't you ever shout over a song. Some folk can't shout unless the right one's singing, got the right musician. Everything's got to be perfect. But when you come to die, you might not have nobody to sing you a song. But if you've got this hidden away in your heart, hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. If you've got His word hidden in your heart, you can shout like the psalmist. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. If you've got it in the heart, you can die by yourself, separated from everyone that loves you, just in a room by yourself. You can die and walk. You see, you won't abide in the valley of the shadow of death. You're just walking through. You're just walking through to the other side. Now somebody said, I want to go to heaven because the streets are paved with gold. I've got news for you. The streets are not paved with gold. I've heard two songs recently. The streets are paved with gold. Pavement could be that thick. The streets I'm going to walk on are pure gold. Amen. No pavement over there, brother. Hallelujah. But you know what? Wherever Jesus is, if the streets are mud, I want to go where He is. I preached about Him. I pioneered new fields where nobody ever heard the word. Hallelujah. When you start preaching about Jesus being God, you've got every church in the country on your back because they all believe the same thing. I said they all believe the same thing. It's just a different label. I was in California some time ago and I talked to a man that worked in a cannon factory. The canned peaches. One day for Libby, the next day for Del Monte. Same peaches, same can, same men doing the canning, just the label. Pin it all down. Basically, they all believe the same thing. It's just another label. Oh, brother, let me tell you, we've got a label tonight. It's the Jesus label. Thank God, it's the Jesus label. It's a Jesus label. Nothing else like it. I said, nothing else like it. He said, if I go away and prepare a place, and I've proven by the scriptures that He arrived, He got there. He's there now. Now He said, if I go away, I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's our hope. I said, that's our hope. Is His coming? I am not a date setter. I don't know when He's coming. But I'm living every day like He's coming that day. He's coming. I have hope when things go wrong. I have hope when the job is gone and I can't find another one. I have hope when the finances are low. I have hope when the meal in the barrel is low. I have hope when death comes to the door and takes my loved one. I have hope. I have hope. Some people, their hope is in things. But the hope of the Christian is not in things. It's in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. He's our hope. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, I think some people have enough of the touch of God to be miserable. They know it's real, but somehow they just can't break loose. When I came in, I had never been to Sunday school. My people, their background was Methodist. They had one revival a year, and that was 5 nights, and that's all the church that I ever knew anything about. And my daddy was a cusser. Every other word was a curse word. Every other word was a curse word. Knew nothing about God. My mother had a small family. Myself and one sister. And she was 11 years older than me. And she married and left me at home alone with mom and dad. And the Pentecostals came to my part of the country. All we'd ever heard about the Pentecostals were stories like you wouldn't believe. Called them holy rollers, holy jumpers, moon gazers, glukety glukes. You name it, and that's what they called us. And the first time I went, they let the Pentecostals have an old country church. And a group of them came in, and that was my first day to see the Pentecostals. They said, now it's a free show. Go, see the show. Get up and leave. Don't hang around. For the preacher has a handkerchief, and he's got powder on it. If he can get close enough to you to sprinkle that powder on you, you'll be a Pentecostal as long as you live. You can't shake out from under the spell. Said, what's that handkerchief? When I walked in that door, just a kid. Back there, we wore them knee breeches, you know. They kind of bloused over. They're like bloomers. They kind of bloused over your knees, you know. And then black socks. I was dressed up. When I walked in that church and looked, the first thing I saw was a preacher and his handkerchief. Well, I said, so much is true as a handkerchief. But let me tell you tonight, if I could get what I'm preaching to you, I wouldn't stop with a handkerchief. I'd get me a bed sheet, and I'd fill it full of powder. You talk about a revival, we'd have a revival from the courthouse down. But say, brother, don't come like that. I said, don't come like that. It comes when you repent. When you die out to sin, die out to pride. Hallelujah. We didn't have any hope. We just drifting. But they came close to where we lived out in the country. They put up a brush arbor. Now I know you folks, all of you being city folks, you might not know what a brush arbor is. That's where you put poles in the ground and you cover the top with brush to keep the dew off of you. My daddy said that preacher can preach in this country until every rock on that hillside turns into a loaf of bread, and he'll never get a convert in this country. Well, that's what he thought. You better be particular what you say. That night, we never talked about going to the altar. Never said a word to each other about it. I was standing in the front of that arbor leaning up against the post. I had on a green striped shirt with the sleeves rolled up above my elbows. I never will forget it. All at once, conviction hit me. And listen, friend, I didn't walk to the altar. I went running as fast as I could run down that sawdust trail. And I hit that altar with everything I had. I'm going to say something right now. If it stings you, if it burns you, it ought to. We need a revival among the Pentecostals of old-time heartfelt conviction. Old-time heartfelt conviction. So much conviction, when you do wrong, you'll be sorry that you did wrong. That's conviction. And I started praying. I heard a voice over here. I looked and that was my dad. I heard somebody over me talking like a German. I looked up and the story was, when I passed my sister, she started to the altar and God knocked her down out there in the sawdust. In about 10 minutes, she had the Holy Ghost and was over me praying in tongues, trying to help me pray through. And then I looked down that long altar and there was my mom. Looked over here, there was my sister's husband. The whole family went the same night. The same night, everybody went the same night. And every one of them got the Holy Ghost before I did. Every one of them. I didn't get the Holy Ghost until January. And they received it in the summer of 1929. We didn't even have a church building. It was just prayer meetings. No preacher there that night. They just had prayer meetings. We almost tore up the school. Got to reading the Bible and praying in the school. The students began to receive the Holy Ghost. And that night, in that prayer meeting, they had one service. Started about 7:30, and they got through about a quarter to 10, and two or three prayed through. Well, they said, we ain't going nowhere. Why don't we just have church all over again? And they started another service. Now, you try that today. Oh, come on, everybody. I know you. You ain't gonna hide from me. I've got eyes like an eagle, and I've got a memory like an elephant. We need God. I said we need God more than we need anything else. People are in such a hurry. I preached not long ago in a church, and that pastor told me on Sunday morning when to quit. He said, we quit at this particular time so we can beat the Methodists and the Baptists of the cafeteria. But conviction hit me in that room at 10 o'clock. I went to the altar at 10 o'clock. When 12 o'clock rolled around, I was still praying. When the clock rolled around at 2 the next morning, I was still praying. At 4 o'clock was when the glory came down. What was my trouble? I was not a drunkard. Nothing about dope, drugs. I had a streak of pride in me that had to be crucified. I was a proud little devil. It took me that long to die. And that's the reason some of you had to pray a long time. You had to die. Brother, flat on my back on the floor, my hands raised toward heaven. The glory of God hit me in the end of my fingers, down my arms, into my body, and I started talking in tongues. I didn't even go to bed that night. Nothing that I have. You can have it and give it to somebody else. I got the Holy Ghost this morning at 4 o'clock. And all of that night behind me. And somebody said, oh, give Gamlin a little time. He'll be back. You know what? Gamlin ain't going back and Gamlin ain't going back. Let me ask you a question. What would I do if I went back? I don't know nothing about the latest movie. I don't know a thing about that. And suppose that I'd walk in a bar. I wouldn't know what to order. Never been drunk in my life. I know nothing about that. I took one swallow of whiskey that my dad passed to me in a bottle, and I spit it out. Burn, I said, if that's what you call fun, I said, toy on that fun. If I would go in a bar and pop my foot on a rail, I wouldn't know what to order. I might say, shoot me a glass of buttermilk. Hallelujah. Thank God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going back. Nothing back there for me. I'm going on. I'm going on. This is my hope. I said, this is my hope. Now, my mom, my dad, my sister, and her husband, they're all dead. All of them died in the faith. I don't have any family there left. They're all gone. But when my dad was on his deathbed, this is the last thing we heard him say. He said, open the gate. I'm coming home. That's worth it all. I said, that's worth it all. Money can't put you there. Prestige can't put you there. I tell you, what will put you there is a hope in Jesus Christ. That'll put you there. Money can't do it. Some time ago, my first cousin was a secretary to our congressman, and we went to Washington. They treated us nice. They showed us around and gave us a lot of tickets and whatever. I wound up in the place where they print all of our paper money. They print it in bales and they spend it in bales. I never saw so much money. I was standing there looking around, and I told that guy, I said, I never felt more like taking up a collection in my life than I do right now. That tight wad wouldn't even give me a sample that day. I said, you'd think it would be possible to come back and hold a revival here. He said, I think not. You know, money used to talk. Then it got so cheap till it started whispering. Now it don't say anything. It just slips past you on its way to Washington. That's where it's all gone. The man that has Jesus, he has treasures untold. This currency will never fail. Amen. When you have a hope in Jesus Christ, it'll never go bankrupt. Oh, yes. It'll always be good. Amen. Hope. Hope. Oh, yes. Now, I know I'm preaching a little lengthy, but of course, after I felt what I felt in this room tonight, I knew that I'd never finish up what I wanted to preach on, that I'm going to give you something to think about. You see, we've got too much of not obedience to the Word of God and too much of not preaching the Word of God. See, people that are rooted and grounded in the doctrine, no false prophet, no false teacher, and no false church will ever shake you loose from it. If you know what you believe, and you'll never know until you hear it preached and you accept it. Come on, Brother Smith, he's going to help me preach a little here. I'm preaching about Jesus.
Praise God.
The hope that's in Him. Amen. I said that, a hope that's in Him.
Oh, yeah.
Hope sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Lost hope is the undertaker's best friend. Faith is hope, holding out your hand in the dark, expecting Him to fill it. He'll never disappoint you. I've never been disappointed in Him. Let me tell you, I could take this thing off of my neck and I can outrun that lady that came down through here tonight shouting. That's how I feel about it tonight. Somebody said it's not all in shouting. Right. And it's not all in sitting still either. Man, am I ever preaching good tonight. First Peter chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9.
Trying of your faith.
All right, come on.
Being much more precious than gold.
Now that's a trial of your faith being much more precious than gold.
That perish.
That perish.
Though it be tried with fire.
Though it be tried with fire.
Might be made unto praise and honor.
Might be made unto praise and honor.
And glory.
And glory.
At the appearing of Jesus Christ.
When?
At the appearing of Jesus Christ.
When He appears, we won't need this hope. We won't need faith any longer.
Oh, yeah.
Faith will become sight. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Come on, Pastor.
Whom having not seen, yet love.
Wait. You married folks out there tonight. I don't want to offend you, but you courted by sight.
Yes.
And look what you got. Turn around and look. You did it.
Praise God.
Whom having not seen,
yet love.
You love. Now wait a minute. We're courted by faith.
Amen. Come on.
We've never seen Him, yet we love Him.
Oh yes.
You know why I fell in love with Him?
Oh,
with
yes.
All of the love letters He wrote me.
Oh yes. Come on. Thank you.
While I was a sinner, He loved me. Like the man and woman stood before the pastor to get married. He said to that lady, said, do you take this man to be your husband? She said, I do until something better comes along. Listen, I married a couple one time. Before God, those were two of the ugliest people that I have ever laid my two eyes on. They were so ugly, they favored. You see, it's an old saying, but it's a true one. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. And when I pronounced him husband and wife, I always like for them to seal it with a kiss. And they went into a bear hug. And I thought I was going to have to separate them. One fellow was so jealous of his wife, and his friend asked him why. Why, he said, I'm afraid somebody's going to come along and take her away from me. His friend said, if everybody could see your wife like I do, nobody else would have her. Y'all out there, married folks, you courted by sight.
Amen.
Oh, you fell deeply in love. Wrote them nice love letters, dripping with honey. But here we are. We are engaged to a lover that we've never seen, going to a place that we've never been.
Amen.
That takes faith to do that. I said that takes faith to do that. Whom having not seen. Now, let's read that again.
In whom part. Having not seen, ye love.
Read it one more time.
Having not seen yet love.
Having not seen, you love. Read it.
In whom though now you see him not.
In whom though now you see him not.
Yet believing.
Yet believing. That's it. Believing.
Rejoicing with joy.
Rejoicing
and full of glory.
With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, what will it be when you see Him?
Oh, yes. Think about it. Come on. Praise God.
If you can rejoice now without seeing Him with joy unspeakable and full of glory, what will it be like when you do see Him? It was two old-time preachers, and they're both dead now and gone, and I knew both of them. B.H. Height in St. Louis, he had a nervous condition of the head. It always moved. And the fellow come by one day and knocked on the door, and Brother White opened the door. That fellow said, "I came by to tell you that I'm Jesus Christ." Brother Hyde stood there for about a half a minute. Well, he said, "All I can say, I sure am disappointed." Then we had another one. His name was Brother Bibbs. He was a little feisty. A man walked up to him and he stuck out his hand. He said, "I'm Jesus Christ. Who are you?" Brother Bibbs said, "I'm Doubting Thomas." When you say he's in the desert, don't believe it. When they say he's here, don't believe it. When they say he's here, don't believe it. He's still seated on the throne of eternal glory. He's still in heaven. He's still alive. And he's walking over his church. Hallelujah. This is what the book said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, it's all by faith, not by sight. I did not see him die on the cross. I did not see them put him in a tomb. But I believe it happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. For the Lord himself, yes, not an angel, shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice, the trump of God. Not the trump of an angel. It's the trump of God that's going to raise the saints. That's where people all mixed up on Revelation. Angels sounding trumpets. Brother, we're going to leave this world at the sound of the trump of God and not at the sound of the trump of an angel. I don't believe you got my drift. I might have to snow again. Oh, I'm watching you. You ain't going to slip a thing by me. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm just expecting any time to get that summons to go home. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Going home. Listen, I ain't home yet. I'm just passing through. Just preaching and a shout and having a good time. I'm having the time of my life. I love to do what I'm doing right now. Nobody on either side of my house ever thought about being any kind of a preacher. And 17 years old, I declared my calling. And on my dad's side, the businessmen and politicians and whatever, they said he's crazy. But you know, my cousin died. He was president of the bank. He told somebody before he died, he says, "That boy had more sense than all of us put together." They thought I had disgraced the family. And I've been right back to my home and preached. Last year I went back to where I got the Holy Ghost. 70 years ago and celebrated the 70th anniversary of the church. Right where I was born and reared. Oh, brother, I'm not ashamed. And listen, I went to Jackson, Mississippi to build a church. They had tried it a time or two and failed, and I accept the challenge. I came from Philadelphia, Mississippi, about 75 miles northeast of Jackson, and I went right back close to home. Went to Jackson and founded that church. Got on the radio, didn't have a member, signed a contract. And the man was so nice, I said, "Suppose that I get where I can't pay the bill." He said, "We'll tear up the contract." But I said, "That's fair enough." And he asked me my first time when I made my broadcast, he said, "Do you drink water while you preach?" I said, "No." And when I got through, he said, "I understand why you don't drink water when you preach. You ain't got time." Hallelujah. And the first thing I did I got acquainted with the mayor. I went to him and asked him about having a tent meeting in Jackson. He said, we can't. He said, it's against the city ordinance to have a tent meeting in Jackson. And I said, that's why I came to you. I got him out to church one night. He said, write me a letter and tell me that your tent is waterproof and where you want to put it, and you can put it up. I got a breakthrough. Leased an old Presbyterian church 7 blocks from downtown Jackson. That's where that church was born, right there. Man, we had a time. We had a time. Then I got the governor to come to church. We had a conference, and he made a speech to the young people. As good as I ever heard from anybody. Instructed them. One day I decided to go down to his office to talk to him, and people were lined up for a long way to get in, and you had to sign, and he passed by and saw me, and he mentioned me to come on in. Well, I went in, and we sat down. On that side of the desk he sat, and on this side I sat down. He said, I am the adult Bible teacher in the First Baptist Church in Jackson, but there's a scripture I want you to explain to me. He said, I have no earthly idea what it means. He said, this is it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Me and him had a good talk about Jesus and the gospel right there. The church is going strong now. Bible school, there, everything, shouting and singing, having all kind of music. But I know where it came from. I sponsored the meeting. I didn't get nothing out of nobody. Just went in, rolled up my sleeves and went to work and built the church. Listen, friend, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. Hallelujah. I like it. Oh, yeah. I love to tell men there's a better way to live than to live in sin. There's a better way to die than to die in sin. All right, listen, I'm going to quit. Give me 5 more minutes, will you? Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, yes, you got it right there.
Thank God. That by two immutable things.
Now, wait. Read real slow now. That by two immutable things
in which it was impossible for God to lie.
Now, wait a minute. I want to stop here. That by two immutable things. Now, what are those two immutable things that makes it impossible for God to lie? There's one thing that he does not know and one thing that he cannot do. He said, is there another God beside me? Yea, I know not any.
Amen.
And if he doesn't know one, I don't want to know one.
Amen. Right.
And he can't lie. Praise now, what are those two immutable things that makes it impossible for God to lie? First is a promise. Second is the oath. When he made the promise, he sealed it with an oath. When he could find no one greater than himself, he swore by himself. He made a promise and a covenant, bound it together. He can't lie. Promise and an oath. He swore by himself, the book said.
Amen.
He couldn't find anyone any greater than himself.
Amen.
Oh, that's why I preach him. He's the greater. I said he's the greater. You can put your trust in him.
Amen.
What he said in that book is forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
I know a lot of people, they have a little promise box. It's got a lot of scriptures, and you take out one of the day, you read it. One man said, I'm going to find out the will of God, and the way I'm going to find out the will of God, I'm going to close my eyes and close my Bible, and then open the Bible and open my eyes, and the scripture will tell me what to do. He tried it. Judas went and hanged himself. No, he said, I don't want that one. And he didn't. He said, I'll try it the second time. Go thou and do likewise. No, he said, I don't want that one. He said, the third time is a charm. What thou doest must be done quickly. Take the book. Rightly divide the word of truth. And you'll come up with what God wants you to do, right? Come on, Pastor, come up here, will you? Help me preach a little bit. You look like a preacher. You know, he's a teacher. And the only difference that I've found between teaching and preaching is this. When you teach, you tell. When you preach, you yell.
Amen.
And a teacher's got to have them glasses. Just right. And he's got to have that little pointer. A preacher can tell you in 30 minutes what it takes an hour of a teacher to tell you. It's all the same thing. That's right, isn't it, preacher?
Come on.
All right, come on. That by two immutable things, in which was impossible for God to lie. Come on.
That we might have a strong constellation.
That we might have a strong constellation. Wait a minute. One day, just before I went on the radio with my message, I was just turning through the book of Hebrews, and my eyes fell on this verse. Jesus was strong, crying and tears.
Amen.
He did not cry like a normal man. He had all the sins of the universe stacked on his shoulders. Strong crying.
Amen.
And tears. This book tells me that we might have a strong consolation.
Oh, yes.
Strong. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. It abides.
Yes.
It stays with you. You that have the Holy Ghost, you won't go home tonight and put God in a closet and shut the door and say, now, Lord, I will let you out next Sunday morning when we all will go to church. That's not the way it works.
Amen.
You brought God in here with you, and you're going to take him home with you tonight. Come on, everybody. I'm preaching about God that we might. That we might have a strong
consolation.
Who have
fled for refuge.
Who have fled for refuge.
To lay hold.
To lay hold.
Upon the hope.
Upon the hope.
That before us.
That is set before us. Come on.
Which hope we have as an anchor.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul.
Amen.
Both.
Sure.
And steadfast.
Which,
let me tell you tonight, when your little boat is caught in a storm, don't jump out. Don't give up.
Come on.
Don't backslide.
Come on.
Drop the anchor. I said drop the anchor.
Oh, yes. Hold on.
Drop the anchor. When things happen that you don't understand.
Come on.
Don't accuse God.
Come on.
Don't accuse the pastor. Don't accuse the church. Just look up.
Oh, yeah.
Drop the anchor. It'll hold. Come on, let's stand up, everybody. It'll hold. This anchor is sure. It's steadfast. It'll hold in the time of sickness. Hold in the time of death. When you don't understand, when you're weeping your heart out, just drop the anchor. It's sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's steadfast.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Oh, brother. I feel that God wants to do something at the close of this service tonight. I have preached the best I could. I preached out of my heart tonight to give you something to live for and to look into the future. You see, the future of this church is that hope in Jesus. That's our future. That's our future. That's why we're trying to preach and build churches to save men before it's too late. I want a song. Somebody that can sing, come up here. We're going to have a prayer meeting around this altar tonight. Listen to me, friends. It's time that people begin to think about going home. Never forget You're going to have your place in eternity. And it all depends on how you treat God down here will determine where your place will be. How is it tonight? How is it tonight? Are you convicted? Do you feel like that God would like to do something for you tonight?
Well, I don't know if I heard right, but it sounded like your place was going to be in eternity. No, not really. He said, your place will be in eternity. Just having a little fun there. What you think about that blog talk, Mom?
Well, you're just very, very amusing. But we can leave for both of them, can't we? That would be great. We'll just, that would be really good. I appreciate you and Wild Bill for being just so faithful and all the, I always have hope that you're going to be here. And I want everybody that's listening to be sure and pray for Wild Bill, because he'll be having some medical situations. Would it be this Friday?
Yes, this Friday. Please be praying.
Well, everyone's praying, and it's just, it feels like we're going to get a good report. So that's faith and hope, isn't it? What we're talking about.
Yes. That was some mighty fun preaching.
That's the, you know, I didn't realize he, Drawbell and I both reacted when he said it was Jackson, Mississippi. Was he the founder of the big church there? Brother Kraft is, and his, well, Brother Kraft is the bishop there. And it's a huge, wonderful church, has a private school. So I wonder if, I guess he would be the one. There's not any other like that. What was his name, this preacher?
Just a minute. W.E. Gamblin.
I'll check on that. I'll ask Pastor Holland. I've heard the name. I love
well,
this message. Go ahead.
Sorry? I'll go ahead.
Well, I was just...
You talking to me?
Either one.
I'll drag you out. I want to hear what Pastor has to say. What you got to say?
I was just going to say I love hearing the older preachers because they have so many life experience stories that they add to their message. Some people in this day and time, they're like, okay, we want a 15-minute sermon, you know, cover your, set up your foundation with your scripture, you know, drive your point and then close. And that's what people want in this day and time. But I love to hear the life experience part of it. Even when I was younger, I used to love sitting with older people and hearing about their life experience with living for God, because that's personal testimony. That you can't argue with that, where people try to nitpick some things from the Word of God. This is their life. You know, you look at it now and you say, well, I was just an old man. You know, he did this 70 years ago. Well, you know, wow, started at 17 years old, went someplace, had no members, started a church, started a school, went to the city, got permission to set up 10 meetings. When God wants to move things and open doors, you know, it's opened. And I loved how he brought it out, how he tried twice before and it didn't fly. And, you know, that's where we got to be understanding that God has a time and he has a place. He has a season. I tell my Sunday school class all the time, if we really believe what we say we believe, we should wake up every morning and say, oh, man, I'm still here. Man, I was hoping that, you know, I'd go on in the night or God would come back and I'd get to be with him. But it's funny, we don't really do that, do we? You know, we're so attached to this life that's so fragile and so temporary that, you know, I think sometimes we're missing out on some of the things that the old people really had a grasp of that we don't. I love that thing because I've seen people, I've actually done it before. I'm like, Lord, speak to me and open up the Bible to get a scripture. And that man went to three scriptures and I was like, man, I might have gave up at that point. So I'm going to preach against this. I, I don't think you're supposed to do this, folks. so it just really tickles me to hear that. But we do live in a day and time to where people don't want to hear truth. People want their ears tickled. They want short, sweet. They want to have their dessert, not their meal. They want to have it their way. You know, it's their rules, their game. And it's so sad that in myself that I don't have more of a burden for the lost when I stop and think about it, because I do understand what hell is. God gave me a vision of it when I was really young. And knowing that, how can I look at all the things that I see in the world and not have a burden and not know that my prayer can do things to help other people? My praise can even do things to help other people. And I do have this little surgery thing coming up, and it's really funny. I'm not afraid. And I even did a radio show for the next week, and I told Solis, well, even if I don't make it, you got one more show, you know. So, and I said, this one I really put a lot into, so you be sure and play it. And anyway, it's just, and I don't really think anything's going to happen, because it's when God sent us to Nolensville, I knew that there was a purpose that was there, and a lot of people don't know this, but right after we went there, I had really strained something physically. All of a sudden, my heart got to beating irregular. My heartbeat was not normal. My blood pressure was spiking. Went and did a stress test, and they were going to put me on blood pressure medicine. Well, they did put me on blood pressure medicine. And, they said my heart, you know, that stress test, they were worried about that and wanted me to come back in a few weeks. And it's, you know, I don't understand God's process, but I don't have to understand God's process. But I went and I got prayed for. And even though I didn't feel any better in my spirit, I felt that God let me know that I was okay. And so I quit taking the blood pressure medicine. I just quit. And, you know, when you start taking a medicine like that, they don't want you to quit. You know, it's one of those things you got to keep going. And I had to go to get clear to go back to my work. They sent me down to the company doctor. He listened to my heart. He couldn't find any irregular heartbeat. He couldn't find those skips. He couldn't find anything. Checked my blood pressure. My blood pressure was normal. So there's a lot of things about God I don't understand. You know, you would have thought that just going and getting prayed for, there would be an immediate thing. I don't know that before it comes time for this surgery that we're going to go and there's not even going to have to be anything to have surgery on. You know, I don't understand, but I have faith in God that he sent me there to Nolensville for a reason. And until that is fulfilled, he's going to make a way for me to do what he sent me there to do. And that's part of the faith in God thing. You know, I don't see it. I don't actually understand it, but I stand on it. And that's what we all have to do in our own relationship with God to our own level. But the part that really bothers me is how people can, and we've been talking about works. We've been talking about, you know, faith at our Sunday school class, and we're going into works because there's a lot of confusion about that. A lot of people want to say that, well, being baptized in Jesus' name, that's a work. Getting the Holy Ghost, that's a work. Well, yeah, it is, but it's not my work, it's his work. And once people realize that they're just obeying to take part in his work, our work is to go out there and feed the poor, clothe those that need clothes, give people homes that need a place to live, and introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ. If we do that part, that's the work, but it's not going to save us. But he lets us know that his people are going to do those things. So there's a real balance on those things. But it just, I don't know, I'm just so burdened when I look and realize that we got to start talking to people like people. We can't throw slogans. We can't throw this and that scripture that we've always stood on. We got to do something a little different, maybe come up with a little rap song or something. You know, something that speaks to the people, not something that we've recited 100,000 times and we've heard 100,000 times, and we hide behind that instead of going out there and being exposed to be that light that God wants us to be. And Blog Talk Mom, I love your rap song. I really do.
Well, I'm glad. I have had more fun spiritually And in every way, once or twice I've had a little opposition, but most of the time, in any situation, I pull my car over to the side, somebody be cleaning out their car, and I just feel led to stop, and I'll ask them if they like rap. It's the cutest expression when they look at this old lady, but they take it, and, you know, I've just had tremendous, I mean, they're hearing the word of God, and that's what it is all about, and it's uplifting, and it's just, I really appreciate God. I think someone was, well, it was a man that did the music for it, and he called me a Caucasian, which I am, and so I said, God was looking for a hip Caucasian. I think that's funny, but anyway. I love this program, too, because I was taking notes as he was speaking, and I'm going to make a Bible study out of this or teach it sometime, because hope is not, it's not like I'm just hoping for $1 million or something. It's hope in something, not for, I mean, that may go along with it, but my hope is in the promises of God, in, because Christ in me is my hope of glory. You know, I mean, it works together. It's just a beautiful relationship. And one of the things that I saw in is the imagine. We have an imagination. God has given us the ability to imagine. A negative imagination is always thinking about how, you know, you're thinking, oh my, how bad it can be, and you can actually break out in a sweat and all that kind of stuff. But if your hope is in His promise, then your imagination begins to develop a feeling and an excitement and a looking forward to, like you were talking about. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you just, glory to God. That's why when we're in a church service and they start singing, I'm going to make it, you know, all of a sudden that imagination inside of you says, make it, not just make it here, but I'm going to make it all the way to the other side. Why? Because God has given me the power to do it. So please, oh, hallelujah. Yes, faith, hope, and charity, and hope, grace, and a great privilege and a gift that God, God has given us hope that we can go through whatever that comes our way. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Woo! Thank you, Bob Hill. This is a good program.
Somebody get a fire extinguisher, wrapping Granny's on fire.
This is good.
Yeah, we sometimes get to this, you know, Molly Groves talking about the things of God and, you know, looking at the things of life. And we had a sermon not long ago. What are we giving power to? Our situation or to the God that can overcome all things? Who's in control of all things. Yeah, there's things in politics none of us agree with, but my God can overcome the political things in this world. You know, there's things in business with greed, and we got poverty, and we got drugs, and we got wars, and rumors of war, and strange weather, but my God is stronger than all these things.
That's right.
All of them. And if it's our time to go, it's our time to go. And if it's not our time to go, there is nothing that's going to come along that's going to be able to take us from God's hand. He lets us know nothing. And, man, there's not a safer place to be than in the hands of God.
That is so good. I can't remember where the scripture is that the Lord has set before us an open door, and there are many adversaries. And we can dwell on the adversaries. You know, we can get all of our imagination and all of the dread of it, but all we can look at the open door. You know, we can see that God said there's an open door here. And that represents to me, and, you know, when your imagination gets into that and your hope gets into that, that an open door, I mean, you walk in, go in. You know, you got free access to whatever God has called you to do. And it, Joy Bells is really good. That's our nickname for Joy. With pointing that out to me, because, you know, in everyday life sometimes I will look at it from the wrong side, and she's really good at helping me see and put my confidence in the right emphasis, you know, put my emphasis on the right thing. And I don't know if she's she's listened to the broadcast tonight, though, and she's always faithful to do that. And we will give her credit for getting us started on it, right?
That's right. Yeah, she was the one that called and had the whole idea. I never even heard of Blog Talk Radio, and it just she started throwing some things out there, and next thing you know, it went from her mind to actually something that's been going now for, I'm not sure how long we've been doing this, so it's been a while now.
It has. Oh, it's been, I so enjoy it. You can feel the anointing in the broadcast. We know that it does something in my spirit every week, and I do appreciate y'all. I know you work jobs, long hours, and you put time and prayer, and I thank you again for all that you've done.
Well, we thank you and Joy Bells for always being there, and I was going through some of the archives the other day, and I'm awful to remember names, but the sister up in Illinois that had cancer, and I was, you know, listening to her call in, and then I heard some of the shows where her family called in after she had passed away. And, you know, there's a lot of things in life, in living for God, that we don't understand. We do see through a glass darkly. You know, it's when we judge things from what our limited perspective is. And sometimes it's hard to realize, because we think we're so smart, just how limited our perspective really is. And as you get older, you lose things more, your family connections and things, and, you know, health. And it's I get so tickled. You and Dad both used to always say that youth was wasted on the young. And I was young at that time. I was like, we smart. You know, and but now I look back and I'm like, wow, that was so true. Y'all was pretty smart, and I just didn't know it. So, but it's, that perspective expands as you get older, but it still comes nowhere close to God's perspective.
That's true. I had heard a sermon this past week, and I can't recall. I think it was T.D. Jakes, but anyway, it was talking about in the miracle where God fed the multitude, and there was this little boy that had the lunch, and how God brought every generation into the picture. You know, he could have used another lunch, and he knew what he was going to do before it ever started. But it's beautiful to use every generation. You know, the young people, they have so much to offer, and teenagers have so much to offer, and looks like old folks are getting in on it, too.
You know, one of the things I always picture with that story was when they went around to look what people had, how many people were like, well, this is mine. I got this here. This is mine. And this little boy, you know, they're like, you know, we're trying to look for some people, you know, can you contribute? We're trying to feed the people. Can you see this little boy going up there and like, here, you can have mine?
Yeah.
And can you imagine the blessing he had of doing that? And then the most stingy people, they didn't get to have the food that was blessed and handed out by the hands of the master. You know, I got a funny feeling that was some of the best bread and fish anybody had ever had for a long time.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that, but it would have been. It would have had to be the very best.
And thank you, Starla. I love that little comment you had right there at the end about your place.
That was adorable.
I'm glad you
like
my
what,
penny.
When they get to talk about the, you what?
I said I'm glad you like my penny.
I liked your penny. Whenever they get to talking about that, of not having to actually buy faith all the by side, I keep remembering there was this time where me and Starla, we could not get together. she'd call Granny's house and I wouldn't be there, and I'd call her house and she wouldn't be there. Actually, we were calling Granny. I was at work. I think she was out of town, and I'd call Granny, and have you heard from Starla? And she's like, no. And then Starla would call and is Bill there? And like, no. And we was about to wear Granny out calling. And then, you know, finally we was able to, you know, get our time and everything to get together. And there's just something about, you know, you think about a love relationship, and I know this is nothing close to the love of God, but when I was able to see her coming around the corner versus trying to reach out on the phone to be there, I mean, it just, there was something there. There was a joy that went through my whole being just at the sight of that little redheaded girl walking towards me. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when we're with him face to face, and in knowing that it's not just our joy in being there with him, but his joy in being there with us.
Praise the Lord.
He didn't pay that price lightly for our salvation, just for our salvation. He wants us to be with him. And he gave us free will in the process. It's just wild. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. I love that song, you know, when I get to heaven, what am I going to do? Am I going to shout and praise? Am I just going to fall down and worship? You know, am I going to be silent and all? You know, because we just don't know. I think that's why there's going to be, then the Bible says there's going to be just total silence for a period of time.
Right. Right.
I think it's going to be it. We're going to be like, oh, you're going to feel it in your heart in a way that you never have before. There's my Jesus.
Mm.
And it's going to be the same way. He's going to like, there's my bride. And there's not going to be any words that's going to have to be said because of that emotion, that connection that's going to be direct right there before us, just like it was to them in the Garden of Eden. Man, I get excited thinking about that.
Amen. That's our hope.
Well, anyway, I didn't need to rattle quite so much. I know that was a fairly long message. I can't see what time it is. It was snowing up here in the big Akron. One of the city guys used the truck I had today, and they called me and said, your truck's been rearranged a little bit. I said, we got tape holding your headlight in. Said,
oh.
Had a little accident up here. So I asked them if they were going to give me an extra roll of tape in case it fell out. But I was just playing.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I'm going down south to North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, and I finally drove out of the snow, so hopefully going down through the gorge and stuff, I won't run into it again. But I love every one of you people that listen to our show. I thank you, the emails and texts I get, even for those that disagree with some of the comments we make sometimes. I love you guys. I thank you for taking time to listen, and I encourage you to go back and listen to some of the archives. Maybe find a show that's your favorite, let me know. We may try to play it again or something. And because this is all about you. This is not about, you know, I do take time to pray, and I try to take things that speak to me to share with you guys. And sometimes I may not be as on as much as I am. And as someone that teaches and preaches, I can tell you that, man, I can really feel something sometimes and get in front of everybody else. They look at you like a bunch of hoot owls out there like, huh? You know, it's so... It's not all about me. This is your show. This is your place. So, anyway, Starla, I turn it back to you and Mom.
Drive safe.
Yes, please.
Oh, I do want to say that Keith, the friend of mine that called in, that his wife wrote the book. They were sharing with me that book went number two when it was first released with Amazon, and they just did the ebook. And anyway, they actually worked with an award-winning author that couldn't put her name on it, but they're going to get with us, and they think that they can get not just the people that was actually involved in this project, but actually the author, and I'm sorry I can't think of her name right now, but she writes a lot of religious love story type things and things for kids, and if I could think of her name, every one of you probably know who she is. But I think she's going to be on our show sometime here in the near future. And I think this will be very interesting for everyone. And so, and especially even when you know she's trying to write books or something, you can kind of pick her mind through the process. And but it just worked out to be fairly profitable for them. From what I understand, right now with Amazon, it's selling for 99 cents, and they're getting 30 cents off each one it's sold. And then this week, it was supposed to went up to, I think, 129 or 199. And if the sales continue, then it'll go up again like another dollar. And they still continue to get their percentage of it. So, but they were saying it was actually more profitable to do the e-book than it was to go through the process of trying to write a paper book to distribute and everything. So I don't know a lot about that. But also pray for Keith that called in. He had gallbladder surgery on Monday. Last I heard, he's doing well. But the recovery process is not an easy one when you go through something like that. Remember him in prayer. Please remember me for this Friday. I'm going to go up there and have surgery. They say it's minor, but I'm like blocked all mom. It's minor for someone else. It's major. It's me. And also for our church in Nolensville, we found a piece of property. My pastor has been speaking out in faith that our church is going to raise $150,000 this year. This piece of property that he ran across the other day is less than that. They're talking about even negotiating to lower the price even more. And just pray that God continues to do the work that he wants to do in Nolensville. And anyone, if you ever get a chance, you're in Tennessee, please come visit us in Nolensville, Tennessee. You're not a guest when you come there. You're family. Or, yeah, you're not a visitor. You're a guest. I'll get that right in a minute. So you're invited. And but we'd like for you all to come be with us. And then also, Blog Talk Mom, how can have you got anything established yet on how people can get your rap CD?
I guess at this point they'll just have to contact me. I can give my address. It's Post Office Box 180081, Richland, Richland, Mississippi, 39218. And it's $10, nine songs on each CD, and I pay the postage. So if anybody's interested, I would love to hear from you. If any churches want to put it in their, have some churches that have ordered, then they get 20% for the church and they're, you know, sell through the church. And but whatever, I'm just so excited about it, and we'll have it on iTunes. I have it in a way. I still have to do a few touches to it, and then they can get it through iTunes.
All right. Well, we appreciate that information. Next week, our show actually starts with another song from that CD. So, anyway, everybody just get plugged in to listen. I pray God blesses each and every one of you. Do you have anything else, Carla?
No, just everyone be blessed this week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place.
Sister Starlet, may I mention, for people, do they all know they can go to Facebook and how to get information that way? Would everybody already know that? It's just your place on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Your place, okay.
Your place.
All right. All righty. And I love y'all. See you next week.
Good night.